Hey, y'all. I'm Brian.
And I'm Angela.
And we are the Aarons. So we're coming to you today, and we're going to talk about be consistent. Mm. And we've talked about, Angie and I have talked a lot about this, about, you know, it's like the next, once you're intentional, the next phase of intentionality is to be consistent about it. Mm. You know, what are you doing consistently?
Yeah.
You know, where are the areas in your life that you are super intentional and super consistent? So if somebody could look at you for 5 minutes and just say, man, I can see them, that they do that.
Yeah.
You know, like that portrait of them models this.
Ooh.
So really that comes back to is what or who are you modeling? You know, so are we modeling things of this world, or are we modeling Jesus?
That's a different layer of consistency that we hadn't even talked about. So there you go.
Yeah. You know, we're weaving. Weaving a pattern here.
Yeah. So be consistent is what are you consistent in, right? Like what's something like a habit in your life? Is it a good habit, such as getting up and quiet time with the Lord, or is it bad habits, like eating too much, which I sometimes tend to do? So it's just, you know, it's kind of taking a second to just figure out, be consistent, and what are we called to be consistent in?
Mm-hmm.
Be consistent in, you know, there's lots of bad habits you can be consistent in that are sometimes easier than the things that God is actually asking you to be consistent in. So let's just sit in that for a second. It is easier to go binge on some food than to deal with your feelings sometimes. Mm-hmm. It is easier for certain people to grab a bottle of alcohol and drown out their sorrows than to sit in whatever it is that sorrow is feeling. So, you know, it's easy to be consistent in watching Netflix or Hulu for hours upon hours, or video games, hours upon hours upon hours, and be consistent in that because it makes you feel a certain way, or it doesn't make you feel at all.
Right.
So, so I think we have to evaluate our hearts in what we are typically being consistent in every single day, and take that back to the Word and put it up to what God is really asking you to be consistent in. Because exactly what you just said, which I hadn't really even thought about, what does the world see in you? Like if you're consistent in good habits, and if you're consistent in kindness, if you're consistent in, you know, being reliable, and you're consistent in showing up, and you're consistent in being Christ-like, then people will see that in you. If you're consistent in exhaustion and weariness and, you know, negativity, and you're consistent in all the things that can help you go back into those bad habits, then people are going to see that in you. So exactly what you just said, what are you being consistent in, helps people know who you really are. And it portrays from you when you're consistent in the things, not of this world, but of the things of eternity, which is where hope comes into play. Like if you're consistent in the Lord every single day, then it's easier for you to focus on hope and eternity and things not of this world, which is what we're called to do.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, you know, like just what you said, I mean, with hope, it's like as we dig into the Word, as we dig into, you know, the model of Jesus, you know, it's that our hope is not found in this world. You know, it's our joy does not come from this world. Our joy comes from modeling, again, you know, how Jesus lived, how he told us to live, how the Holy Spirit prompts us to live. You know, so when we look at that and we think about that, it's not being shaken,
right?
Or not being conformed,
yeah,
to this world. And
it's good
looking at Hebrews 13:8. So we'll start there, talking about consistency, talking about, you know, you could say reliability. Mm-hmm. You know, that your character is reliable. Hebrews 13:8 in the NLT is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means you can take what the Bible says about Jesus, what Jesus said about himself, what Jesus said about God who sent him as truth, because he is truth.
Right.
So when we go and we model ourselves based on what Jesus says to do, we know that that is a foundational truth, and that's not going to take us in an area of ambiguity where we have to just like figure out what we're doing.
It's another one of those SAT words.
Yeah.
Ambiguity.
I'm just saying.
You're making me use my brain big time.
Following Jesus does not take us to where there's a fork in the road.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
To where we have to choose how we're operating. Because we know that the Jesus operates in grace, love, truth, mercy.
Yeah.
So Satan may present a fork in the road to try to confuse us, but it's one side will be fear, guilt, and shame, and you're going down a path where, you know, it's self-deprecation. It's, you know, it's not, it's not having the confidence that the Holy Spirit gives you, or it's, this might be the rockier path, but you can see that if you lead with love, if you lead with grace, you know, forgiveness, if you lead with mercy. So it's having that discernment. It's knowing that, you know, God infuses us with gifts. God infuses us with, you know, just simply how we are to operate in this world.
Yeah.
And if we have to, we look at a situation and it's like we're compromising those things, then we know that it's not from God.
Yeah.
So God will not tell us all these things or show us all these things, the fruits of the Spirit, back to that. And then, you know, put us in a position to where we have to go against those or not use those.
Right.
So then we can say, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is consistent. He is always the same.
Yeah, which thank God, right? Like there's so many things in this world that are inconsistent. There are so many things in this world that you are going to face every single day that are inconsistent. And it's hard to know what's true, what's right, what you're supposed to look for, what you're supposed to do. So, you know, God is the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. He's always the same. So he is the one thing that you can be consistent in and trust, because everything else around you is going to change, because it is not of, it is of this world. So it will change. But the one thing that will never change is God. And so if you can stay consistent in him every single day, then you will notice a difference in your life, because there's something stable. He is your cornerstone. Mm-hmm. He is what keeps you grounded. He is what keeps you whole and complete and perfect in him. He is what keeps you from being shaken by the things of this world. And if you are not consistent in him, then it is easily to be swayed back to the things of this world. And I am a good testament of that, because I am a journaler, which I've probably said on here before. I like to journal, and that's how God speaks to me. And that's how I process things. And that's how I get out all the inner depths of me, because, you know, sometimes you can't share everything with everybody around you, because then it starts to put your feelings onto them, and then that can change how they see things, and then and that's unfair, and no one should have to feel all the things that I feel all the time, right? Because that's unfair. That's my perspective. That's my personal stuff. So if I'm out there just vomiting all my personal stuff on everybody, then that can be, you know, that can make inconsistencies in what they see, and that's unfair. So a lot of times I process things with the Lord one-on-one, and that's what we should do, because that's what Jesus modeled that so well when he would go off into the mountains and pray for 40 days, or, you know, in the garden before he went on the cross, he prayed and sought the Lord individually. So he was consistent in his time with his Father, and that never changed. And I love that. I love that model. And I need that. We all need that. So I'm a journaler and I process things by writing them down and I let the Lord, you know, tear it out of my heart. Well, lately I have been tired of journaling, to be honest. I got sick of it and I was like, you know what? I don't want to feel this anymore. I'm sick of being in the deep, Lord. Like, I don't want to feel these feelings anymore. I just want to snorkel a little bit. I'm tired of being in the deep
kiddie pool.
Yeah, I need to hang out in the kiddie pool and splash around and have fun and praise the Lord. Like, I just want to have, I don't want to feel things. So I started to skip journaling. Like, I just wouldn't carve out time for it. And it became like, you know, I'll just write it down every now and then. And it became more of a diary. Like, hey, going with my niece today. Or, hey, this is what I did today. And it became a diary rather than a journal. And there's a difference because a journal is when you just bare your soul. And if somebody read that... It might be a little intimidating because it's your whole stuff. It's all your stuff, right? That's how I process. That's not the only way to process. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's the only way God speaks to you and you have to do it my way. That's just how God speaks to me. That's my walk. That's my personal stuff. So when I started to be inconsistent in what I knew to be my thing, y'all, it started to affect my entire body. Like, I started to have physical ailments.
Yeah.
Because I was holding on to things that I didn't want to go into the deep with. I was holding on to things that I couldn't let go of. And that creates bitterness and that creates resentment and that creates jealousy or whatever the stronghold is, insert said disgusting stronghold that the enemy uses to make you feel all kinds of ways here.
Yeah.
And so I started to have this knot in my back. And it was in between my shoulder blades and it was intense. And I started to not be able to turn my neck to one side. Y'all, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And I was never feeling like I was getting enough sleep. Like, I was sleeping well at night, but I would not wake up in the morning and be ready for the day. Whereas months ago when I was journaling consistently, I could get up in the morning and, you know, God would say, we got work to do. And I'd be like, let's go. And I was up and ready to go and had excitement and hope for my day. Whereas when I wasn't processing and I wasn't staying consistent in what I know God is asking me to do, I was tired and exhausted and weary and just, I felt so heavy all the time. And so I, you know, didn't even talk to Brian about that. I didn't even talk to him about how I wasn't really journaling. I didn't even say that. Like, it wasn't even I just made it not a big deal. All of a sudden it became not a big deal to be inconsistent. And I was just like, nah, it's fine. No, it's not a big deal. Y'all, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Be consistent in what God is asking you to do, because if you don't, you will grow weary.
Yep.
And you will grow tired of doing what is good. And God calls us to keep going.
Yes.
I got to get my notes out so I can find this verse. I'm sorry. Okay. So in Galatians 6:9, it says, so we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. So don't grow weary of doing what you know is good, because God has a plan in that, and you will reap what you sow, and you will get to see all the benefits of it. And it may not be in the time that you think it should or as quick as you think it will, but keep going and don't grow tired of doing what is good, because that is what you're called to do. So when I confess that to a few friends, and then I just kind of set it as a thing, like, I'm, you know, I stopped journaling, whatever. They were like, what? You stopped journaling? That's how God talks to you. You need to get back on track. And I was like, nah, y'all are crazy. That's not that big of a deal. They were like, no, go back and journal. And so I did, and it was messy. It was messy, and it became it made no sense at first, and I was just writing, and then my words got big and angry, and stuff came out on the page, and it became 4 pages in one day, and I was like, okay, man, wow. And then the knot in my shoulder was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can turn my head again. I can feel free. I can, y'all, you can walk in freedom. You are free. You can be consistent in the Lord and give it all to Him. And He's not asking you to carry it by yourself. He's not asking you to do this life by yourself.
Right.
He is the same every day, and you can rely on Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't have this verse initially, but just based on what you were saying, you know, you can go to Matthew 11:28-30.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. That is exactly the verse that just NLT. Came to my head. Yes.
So it's, you know, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart.
Yes.
And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light."
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of Jesus, because Jesus doesn't just say, "Hey, do this."
Right.
He was doing it.
Right.
And he was saying, "Hey, come to me because I can show you the way to live and yes. have life, have eternal life."
Right.
And to not be focused on things of this world that will only tear you down and will only run you to where your tire is bare.
I mean, right, yes.
You know, it's...
Yes.
Yeah, so it's... I don't know. But...
You just made me remember I have to go get my tires fixed.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Okay, squirrel, but, sorry.
No, I think it's, you know, it's... You look at 29 because he says, "Let me teach you." Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a self-help manual.
No. Oh my
it's
gosh.
Not saying, "Hey, okay, here's this one piece of information. Go figure it out. And then, you know, I'll come back and give you a test to see if you got close to what I think you should be." Jesus says, "Let me teach you." You know, he is humble and gentle.
Yeah.
So we operate in consistency when we allow Jesus to teach us.
Yeah, that's true.
So we are the student. He is the teacher. And then we are called to continually hone our skills, our spiritual skills of how we can operate in this world, not be of this world, not be swayed by this world.
Mm.
And then to where we can, others can see the difference.
Yeah.
And to see, wow, okay, I know you went through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
How are you still smiling? How are you still standing?
Yeah.
How does it not feel like you have 1,000-pound weight on your shoulders?
Right.
Or the two knots in your shoulder blades that sometimes they're like ping pong balls, let's be honest.
Yes.
Sometimes
you know how hard they are.
Sometimes it takes an elbow.
Yes.
But not.
Thank you for loving me well enough to help me get those knots out too, y'all. He does. He takes good care of me.
Thank you for trusting me.
He helps me a lot too.
Thank you for helping me.
So that kind of ties back to be consistent in your walk with the Lord, but also be consistent in your walk with your community. And y'all know that's a tough one for me. You know, that's hard for me. To let other people in and to let people hold me accountable. That's really hard. Nobody wants to hear, "Hey, girl, you're veering off. Get back on track." Nobody wants to be told they're doing something wrong, or not wrong, but just different. Nobody wants to be told that that a different perspective is hard to see things from a different way. But if you can be consistent in your community and show up for your people, with your people, you have to be consistent in showing up. Like, it's hard to lead a small group because people are not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to lead or be even, not even lead it, but be in a small group because people aren't consistent. Because it's easy to get distracted of the things of this world and to feel too busy to come to that. Because you know that that may lead to healing or breakthrough or whatever that you're not ready for. Or you might actually make a connection that somebody's going to hold you accountable to. And that's scary. And the enemy wants to keep you from that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can be consistent with the Lord, he's asking you to do life with people. He's asking you to love him and love others.
Yes.
And he's asking you to stay consistent in that so that he can heal what is broken. He can be near the brokenhearted because he is near the brokenhearted, as it says in his word. And he's asking you to stay consistent in that because consistency is important. When I was in high school, I took a child development class. And again, in college, I didn't finish college, but for a little bit, I took a child development class. And one of the things that they talk about is consistency. Good parenting And any type of good leadership takes consistency. You yourself have to be consistent. Yes. Because if everything is constantly moving and changing, no one can grab onto that. Right. No one knows what's real and what's not. No one knows how to be in a facility that is constantly changing because you never know what's going to come. And not that spontaneity and, and being flexible is not important, because it is, because this world is constantly changing. But you have to have something consistent to hold on to. So the thing that you can hold on to, the person, the being, the love, is God. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to hold on to God. That He is the most consistent thing in your life. And if you have a good grip on that relationship, then you can be consistent in other places. But you've got to be consistent as a leader, as a parent, as a whatever, as a coworker. Be consistent in who you are. Mm-hmm. Be consistent in what you're doing. Be consistent in shining God's light. Be consistent in just looking for the good in things, and be consistent in seeing things through kingdom eyes. Sorry, not worldly eyes, kingdom eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, as we dive into this, I've got a bunch of different thoughts in my head. So it's kind of like, sometimes it's like a computer program in my head where it's like, I'm just kind of like,
you got tabs open.
Yep. I've got too many tabs open. I've got to go back to the tab that I was initially set to do. But yeah, it's just like what you were talking about with a moving target.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're consistently trying to reach a moving target,
yeah,
then that's the thing.
You're going to miss.
You're going to miss, but you're always going to just be trying to reach that target.
Yeah.
Because we have to have clear, concise values,
right?
Clear, concise morals, and we have to have clear, concise goals that are sound and biblical.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that there's a couple of things that, you know, I was going to go into, but I wanted to go into, you know, John 14, 6 and 7, you know, because this is Jesus talking to the disciples, and I believe it was Philip who was questioning, you know, what Jesus was saying. So Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him."
Mm-hmm.
Again, it all points back to, it's, we don't have to look in the world. We don't have to look outside of Jesus, outside of God, the Holy Spirit, for anything that we need.
Yeah.
Now, we need community, but we need biblical, God-driven community.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need that accountability, the authentic accountability.
Yeah.
To where, yeah, you can open up and say, "Hey, I'm not doing this," or, "What do you think about this?" And then they will
guide you.
They will guide you. and I love that. Like, we have to have that.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that we talked about this morning that I felt God telling me is that Jesus lived a life about others.
Yeah.
But they did not dictate how he went about serving others or living his life.
Yeah.
So he served, he was selfless. And we are called to not be self-serving. We are called to be consistently humble, selfless.
Yeah.
But again, we hold to those values. We hold to what God has called us to be.
Yeah.
So we can get to the point where we are focused so much on serving others that we allow them to dictate who we are and how to serve them.
Mm. Yikes.
And that's the thing. That's when we go back to the model of Jesus, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. It's only through him that we get the the gift of salvation, mm-hmm. and that we see how we are to live in mm-hmm. this world. So just take heart. I guess that take heart as you serve other people, as you love your neighbor, love your enemy, love yourself. It's to always cling to the principles, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the Beatitudes, all of the things that we are called to do in Jesus as we serve others, mm-hmm. as we care for other people. Because there are those people that will dictate how you can serve. Yeah. Or it's like, well, how you are to operate around them.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's be consistent in who God has called you to be.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, you know, the fundamentals that we need in our lives. We need prayer. We need alone time. We need communion with God.
Yeah.
Because that is where we find that hope. That is where we find the joy that can't be explained and that it can't be snuffed out.
Yeah.
And then we worship. We praise God. We praise God for everything around us. That way, we see the beauty. We see the beauty in this world. We can consistently see the beauty in this world, even though it is messy, even though it is chaotic, even though it is sin-filled. Mm. We see God's thumbprint, His hand, His love in everything.
Yeah.
Because we know that God is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
God has an order in how the earth was created and how the earth is sustained,
yeah.
how it continues to spin. We could go on and on about evidence of God.
Yeah.
So it's your prayer time, your walk, your praise and worship. And it's how you treat others.
Yeah.
That consistency. Because, it's the garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're taking things in that are not biblically based, then they're going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to see those things. We are human, which is why we have to do this daily.
Yeah.
We have to choose consistency daily.
Yeah. So a verse that came up when we started talking about consistency last night or whenever we started talking about it was 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I was just looking at some different versions here, but I'm going to go with the Passion this time. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. So just what you were saying, if we're consistent in our union with the Lord, then He makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. So if you're consistent in your relationship with the Lord, then you're going to bear fruit like a tree that is bearing beautiful fruit that will show the love of God on your face, and your life will look different. You will look different. You will shine differently. Your joy will, you'll find joy in difficult situations. You'll find, you're just going to bear fruit. And what does that look like? You want a good mm-hmm. fruit? Does your tree, if you're a peach tree, when I was a kid, I had a peach tree in my backyard. Uh-huh. And my mom, oh my gosh, peach tree, it just made me think of yummy, juicy peaches. I love peaches. And we had this huge peach tree in our backyard and so many basketfuls. My mom would have laundry basketfuls of fruit from that thing. And it was good fruit. It was huge and it was juicy and it was delicious. And she would make jam and jelly and pie and all the things. So good. But then no one cared for that tree. When we moved from that house, no one cared for that tree. Mm. And it wasn't consistent in the watering and in the fertilizing and in the tender love and care of that tree. And so that tree died. And it produced disgusting fruit. And it was wilting and disgusting. And when I drove back by that neighborhood a couple years after we, well, several years, obviously, because I lived there when I was a child. So several years after we moved, that tree was gross, and it was brown and dead and wilted, and mm-hmm. the fruit was rotted and just disgusting. And then eventually the people cut it down and it's not even there anymore. So like that is a good visual of what a consistent life in Christ looks like. If you're consistent in your faith and consistent in your walk with the Lord, then your fruit looks beautiful and juicy and full and vibrant and colorful. And it changes lives because you are portraying God's good fruit through you. Mm-hmm. But if you're not consistent in that, if you're not consistent in your walk with the Lord, if you're not consistent in Him and you're not consistent in the things He's calling you to do, and you're not fertilizing and growing and pruning off the dead branches and all the things that you need to do to stay consistent, then your fruit starts to be disgusting and dirty mm-hmm. and gross. And then people see that in you. And God's not going to continue to bless that work because He doesn't want your fruit to be gross. Right. He wants your fruit to be beautiful. He's calling you to live a life set apart. Your tree, your fruit tree, should be beautiful mm-hmm. and full of fruit and bearing good fruit for the Lord. That's what He wants for you.
Yeah.
That's what He equips you for. That's what He gives you, His Spirit, so that you can walk in the world like that. And in a world that is broken and falling and ugly and sin everywhere, which makes fruit disgusting, your tree is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You can be beautiful and joyful and hopeful and all of the things in this world because you're staying consistent in your walk and in your connection to the Lord. And it's the same in marriage. It's the same in all of your relationships. If I'm not consistent in my marriage with Brian, then sin slips in.
Mm-hmm.
I can get, you know, if I'm not consistent in my time with him, if I'm not consistent and intentional in my time in my marriage, then it can go back to where we were before.
Right.
Where we are competing with each other to be apart. And where we're, you know, spending more time on games or more time at work or more time on anything else and not being with each other. And then our marriage starts to bear gross fruit
mm-hmm.
and we don't look the same.
Even if those things are good.
Yeah.
And for, you know, the good of God's kingdom, if we are not intentional. So if we're not intentional first with God,
yeah.
If we're not intentional with each other in our marriage, then yeah, then, just had a thought pop in my head. Then the fruit of our marriage, well, two of the fruits of our marriage are our children.
Right.
So if we are not consistent in our marriage and then our individual connection with God,
yeah.
What do our children look like? What is their fruit? If we're saying that our children are our fruits of our marriage, then it's like,
yeah, absolutely. You know,
they could be wholesome on the outside and hollow on the inside because we have not infused them with these values.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah. and I love that you brought up the fruit tree because, you know, it's John 15, mm-hmm. really 1 through 17 is where, you know, he talks about that he is the vine. He's the true grapevine and God is the gardener.
Yeah.
And, you know, how... Well, let's just read it. So no reason to paraphrase sometimes when you can
just read it.
Just read it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we're in NLT again. I am the true grapevine and my father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more.
Mm.
So, and that's the thing. It's as we are consistent, and we seek God, He will reveal things within us that need to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, with our fleshy self, with things that you know we can still cling to, and sometimes subconsciously cling to,
right.
And then that's why God has to prune it because if it was easy and it just fell off, then it wouldn't need to be cut. It wouldn't need to be carved out.
That's true.
And you know, but that's the thing. It's God, you know, lovingly and with tender care does the pruning.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't say, all right, let me chop this off and, you know, you'll bleed for a while, but you'll figure it out. No, he cares for us through the process.
He's with you in that.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's really good.
And if I had to pick, you know, a character in the Bible, which, I mean, the real person, but, you know, just a person from the Bible.
Yeah.
That displayed consistency. I so desperately want to pick Paul and his consistency, but I am led to pick Daniel. And because Daniel, they were, you know, we could go into the, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but this is just focusing on Daniel, but knowing that when they were captured and God blessed them in captivity because they were consistent. Now they knew how to operate in their new surroundings, but they didn't compromise who they were.
Mm, yeah.
They didn't change who they were. Mm. You know, it goes to choosing to eat, you know, vegetables and not choosing to eat what the king ate.
Yeah.
And they could see the difference in the strength and the mental clarity. Mm. And that's how they were elevated into positions within, you know, under the king.
Yeah.
They were in captivity, but they were in positions where they could, where God's influence could be throughout the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it was people who didn't like the way Daniel operated and the way he used God's wisdom in, you know, government affairs and things that the king would ask him to handle. They were trying to find a fault in him.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, because he lived consistently for God. He was consistent in his walk, to the point where they had to get the king to make a law that you couldn't pray to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
They had to find a way to take his consistent godly values and turn it into something that was illegal to trap him.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. How do we live like that, to where the only way that we can be trapped in something is if they make what we do in God illegal?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know. I mean, that, like I said, there's a lot of people that we can talk about as far as consistency in the Bible and how,
yeah,
you know, their walk was consistent, but it's, I don't know. Daniel is just,
yeah, no, that's a good one.
What is on my heart, to the point where it's like they had to create a law
and to then make his consistency illegal.
Right.
Wow.
And then God said, okay, all right, watch this. And that's when he shut the mouths of the lions in the lion's den.
Yeah, and it's
so through his consistency, because Daniel didn't give up.
Yeah.
He didn't know, okay, well, I'm in the lion's den, I'm done.
Yeah.
It was having that faith.
Right.
Having that consistent faith, consistent walk.
Yeah.
To know who God is, who God says you are.
Right.
Because you are a chosen child of God.
Yeah.
So knowing who God is, knowing who you are in God.
Yeah.
Knowing, again, where you are,
mm-hmm.
you're in captivity, but you are not. Your heart is not captive.
Right.
Your heart still belongs to God.
Yes, it does.
So you operate in God.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
That's good.
Just the visual of, you know, the mouths of the lions being shut.
Yeah.
The king calling for him to be drawn out.
Yeah.
And then those people who, and their families, really.
Yeah.
Those people, that's the non, you know, Sunday school version of then those people and their families were thrown in, and the lions immediately devoured them before they even hit the ground.
Right. So. Yeah. And I love that example. You know, I love Daniel, and you know, I love I love the consistency and the visual of him being consistent three times a day, praying right. in front of his window, no matter who saw him, no matter what the mm-hmm. world thought of him. And, you know, consistent in the faith of Noah, building the ark, how long that took, and the specific direction that God gave him. He didn't let the world, which was so wicked,
oh, wow.
so wicked that the Lord was about to end it, mm-hmm. or was ending it, and he knew that. He didn't let that sway him in any way. He stayed consistent to the directions the Lord gave him, mm-hmm. and no matter what people said around him, he was consistent in his faith and built that ark. I just can't imagine what he must have dealt with and all the things people must have said and how he must have right. felt. And man, that crazy old Noah building an ark over there. He didn't let that stop him from what he was doing. So be consistent in the Lord. Be bold in your faith so that you can stay consistent in the Lord. Because I think it does take boldness to stay consistent.
Right.
And you have to stop worrying about what people think about you or what they say about you, because on either side of that, people are going to say something. They're either going to say you're crazy, or you don't know what you're doing, or you are a good godly person. And so it doesn't matter. You're not in this world for people. You're in this world for the Lord, and you're in this world, you know, you have a bigger calling, you have a bigger purpose. So, you know, you've got to be consistent in your relationship with the Lord so that you can tap into your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one more story to tie it all together. And, you know, kind of given the context of this is, you know, Jesus has been casting out demons. Mm-hmm. And so then you have the Pharisees who are, in Jesus's words, whitewashed tombs. So they are not consistent because they are portraying one thing on the outside, but then inside they are hollow, they are empty, they are self-serving.
Yeah.
So Jesus is performing miracles. He's casting out demons. Mm-hmm. And then they have the bright idea of, well, maybe Jesus is part of Satan, that he can cast out
so
these demons because he is, you know, maybe he's part demon, maybe
him of being
they're
evil.
Accusing him. Yeah. So I love that Jesus talks about a house divided.
Mm.
So it's just remembering that we have to be consistent in our walk.
Yeah.
You know, we have to. Let me pull it back up because I got. Yeah, I love when you have different versions and then.
Lost in your versions.
So, yeah, but he knew their thoughts. So knowing their thoughts, you know, this story, the beautiful part is that this story is in multiple gospels.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they give different
vantage points.
Accounts, different vantage points.
Yeah.
But looking at this one is Luke 11:17. And this one is in the HCSB. Version.
I do love that version lately, y'all.
So,
HCSB, I like it.
Mm-hmm. So it's knowing their thoughts. He told them, every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction, and a house divided against itself falls.
Mm.
So it's do that inventory. Do that check.
Yeah.
Is there anything in me that needs to be pruned? Is there anything in me that is affecting my consistency? Is there anything in me that, again, we are all human. We're not perfect. We are, you know, the goal is, as God created righteousness in us through the Holy Spirit, is to pursue holiness.
Right.
Is to pursue.
Those are some of those gross questions that you're bringing up. What is in me that's, what was the question you said? What is in me that's keeping...
That is keeping, like, that is hindering my consistency in God.
Yikes.
So, you know, again...
That's a journal question.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah.
So...
That's good.
Let the chips fall, you know. Yeah, that's not really a good analogy. It's like, let the chips fall where they may. But...
But yeah, no, I
let the chips fall
saying.
In...
I know what you're saying.
On God's table.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, like if we're divided against each other, then obviously our house is going to fall. So if we're divided in the church is going to collapse. And if there's division in all the things, like it's not going to work out. You know, there's division in our country, that's civil war. There's, you know, so there's that you can't serve two masters and you cannot be on both sides of the fence. So stay consistent in your relationship with the Lord and stay focused on kingdom-minded thinking so that you are not easily distracted and not easily swayed and not easily taken off the righteous path, because that is the one thing that is consistent in this world. Mm-hmm. And if you are not tapped into that, it is easily, you can be swayed and you can be, you know, tempted and you can be pulled in a different direction. And it's easier sometimes to, it feels easier to do that. Although the consequences are greater and it's not easier in the end. The enemy twists that into a deception of it's easier to just slink off and and not think about it. It's easier to eat another cookie. It's easier to drink another drink. It's easier to sleep a little longer and not do your journal. It's easier to not talk about whatever is bothering you about your husband and just let it fester.
Yeah.
It's easier to not deal with it. You know, the enemy can twist that and make you feel like that's truth, but that is not the truth. Yeah. It is actually harder if you think about it in the end. Because you're going to deal with the consequences of that. Being inconsistent is actually way harder.
Yeah.
Stay consistent in your faith. Stay consistent in waking up in the morning and giving God your time. Stay consistent in what you say you're going to do. Be a person of your word.
Yeah.
Be honest. Be consistent in what you say. Show up. Show up to your small group even when it's annoying. Show up to your small group even when it's hard. Show up for your people even when it's hard and it feels inconvenient, because you will reap the harvest of that. There is joy in that. God is working in that. God is using you in that moment. So be consistent and show up. Be consistent and serve. Be consistent and look at the Lord. Be consistent and talk to God every day.
Yeah. Amen. And I love that throughout all that, as Jesus was having that conversation, you know, he's performing, again, he's performing these miracles. He's talking about how, you know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And then we get to a moment to where so Luke 11:27, as he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "The womb that bore you and the one who nursed you are blessed." And he says, Jesus says, so it says, he said, "Even more, those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed." So as you read the word of God, as you do what it says, as you hide it in your heart, as you live consistently, we will be blessed. And yes, that doesn't look like the air quotes blessings of this world, because you know God says that we will have struggles, we will have trials, because we are not living the way the world expects us to. We're not living the way the world, in some cases, requires us to.
Yeah.
So we're gonna face temporary earthly trials. But as we are consistent, we will be blessed by God in ways that cannot be explained.
Yeah.
And we are building up those treasures in heaven. So we are focused on eternal blessings rather than earthly blessings.
That's true.
So all that to say, we humbly pray that you seek God, that you pray with him, that you praise him, that you worship him, that you live humble, gentleness, that you model and really pour into what Jesus says is how, you know, what Jesus says how we should live.
Yeah, be consistent.
And just be consistent.
Amen.